Yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, folks, whatever you think about comes about. Whatever you focus on grows. Coming into the holiday season, people use this time to talk about things like being grateful, being appreciative of what you have in your life, but it's also a time of great sadness for people who don't have anyone in their lives and don't have anything. So it's a tough time of year. I'm not a big fan, to be honest, of holidays. I think it slows down progress. I think it's corporations have taken over the holidays. We transfer our money to corporations. I mean, I was looking today and Black Friday, it said the average person shopping in Black Friday would spend $1,000. $1,000. I find it hard to believe that all those people out shopping on Black Friday for shit they don't need have an extra $1,000. Most people don't realize how close to the edge they are. You know, I was reminded of that this week. I blew out my knee. I'm out for a jog and I blew out my knee. I haven't been injured in a long time. I don't remember exactly when. But I can't run now. I mean, just like that, I run 5 days a week, 6-7 miles a day for almost 30 years now. And knee goes out. You know, I'm coming up on 50. And we're all that way, right? We're all one bad day away from a complete disaster in our lives. And I think most people, the way they handle that, the way they talk about that, they don't live on a strategy. You know, I talk about this idea of the three keys to a successful life: health, wealth, and mindset. Well, right now, one of my keys has been stolen, my health, right? You know, what happens to your family if you can't work? This is why I'm obsessed with residual income, why I became obsessed with doing whatever it took to get ahead, to stacking money, to stacking chips, and why I don't stop talking about it. You know, you have to be an investor. I've lost friends because they don't like being around me because I beat this drum so much. And it's because I see it. Like right now, I'm living proof. I mean, thank God. I mean, I could lay in bed and make $100,000 a year. Why? Because I've spent the last 30 years consistently every week, week in, week out, if not every day, investing in building a business, investing into this idea of creating passive income. I need to make money whether I work or not. I don't care if you're 60 or 40 or 90. You should be doing this. There's never a time that you shouldn't be investing. People, I'm 72 now. Well, then you should be investing for your legacy, for the next generation. There's never a time that you shouldn't be consistently being an investor, acting like an investor. I will die in the day before. I'll probably be looking at my investments, or what should I be looking at adding or buying? You know, what should I be selling a little of to add over here? You know, it needs to be a constant push forward of your assets growing, these assets that pay you money. I you need to be building your business. Things will happen to you. You know, I went to work one day at the prison not knowing that that day, everyone who worked that day would be fired and then later sued because an inmate that I had no control over escaped and killed a man. You know, but the state's not going to take the blame. They immediately push it to the officers. The family member of the person who died immediately begins suing everyone. I didn't know that was going to happen. But that's the point of an emergency fund. And so when you hear people saying these things, it's because you need to put these things in place so that you have a successful life. When you have an emergency, you shouldn't be tapping into your retirement account. It's a horrible way to live, you know? I've self-published 5 books. This podcast is about the book, The Science of Getting Rich, because I'm a huge fan. I've stolen so much information from that book. I apply that book almost every day. I have 20 copies probably in my house. I have it on my phone. I have the audio. I gave away in 2017 over 500 copies of the book. It's just a book, second to maybe the Bible or the Quran if you're a Muslim or whatever Buddhists use. No, second to something like that. It is the most important book in my life. because it put me on a path, a strategy in which to live my life. Now, I took that stuff and began to create my own thing with the 3 keys to a successful life and the 10 pillars of success that I teach in my business, the Downline Building Network. You know, I'm a lead broker, and that's what I do is I sell leads, and I sell leads to people who are involved in network marketing. That's what I do, right? But what I do, I'm also an investor. It's part of who I am. Following the 3 keys to a successful life isn't something I have to try to do. It's what I do. And so you have to begin to get these traits, these ideas, these things that'll make you better, more successful, things that'll make you a better investor, things that'll make you a better father or a better businessman. And they need to become so second nature. You know, repetition is the mother of skill. You have to become so repetitious of it that it just becomes natural. You know, you don't have to be told to sleep. You know, children have to be told to go to sleep. Adults don't have to be told to go to sleep. You know, young people to be told, well, set an alarm and make sure you get up. You know, I'm constantly having to tell my son this. No one has to tell me to get up, right? I have things to do. I'm on a mission. I have goals. I have things that I'm trying to accomplish. In my business, I struggle with this because I'm actively involved in network marketing. And I'm having to tell grown people, hey, you should be involved in this. You should be active in trying to build a business. You should do follow-ups. What should be basic to all the people that I do business with? Isn't. Like, I have to constantly beat the drum. I have to constantly tell them. I have to constantly encourage them. And it shouldn't be that way. People shouldn't have to encourage you. People shouldn't even have to tell you things. You should be seeking out those things. Page 45 of my book, I wrote a book called The Mentalist, and it's subtitled The Mentalist, The Ancient Art of Mental Persuasion. Now, I sell this book for $299. Now, you may say, well, that's crazy. I would never buy it. You know, okay, don't. But I give the people who buy my book the right to resell the book through an automated system that I've set up where I don't go around saying, hey, buy my book for $299. I mail a postcard that offers them free information. And then and they have to buy a couple other things before they even get a chance to buy this book. And so what I did is I took out the fear of rejection from the process, meaning people who turn down my business idea or my thoughts, I don't even talk to them. They never make it to me. So I don't even hear the rejections, you know? So when they respond for free information, I capture their name. I capture their address. I'm in that business. I'm a lead broker. If they don't join me, then I'm just going to sell their information to someone else. That's what I do, right? I'm a broker. I'm a lead. I go around generating leads. If you're in the marketing business, you know, McDonald's isn't in the making hamburger business. They're in the buying quality real estate business. At the end of the day, that's really what they're doing. Because if you put a McDonald's where there isn't anyone, you don't make any money. And so I realized that network marketing isn't about the products and the companies and the pay plans and the meetings and the pitching people. That's not what it's about. It's about generating leads, quality leads of people who are actually interested. And then pitching them the program in such a way that you can remove the fear of loss and remove the high pressure sales technique. So that's what I did. I removed myself from the process. I let systems and tools and you know, brochures and sales flyers and recordings and newsletters, I let all of that stuff, all the tools of the business do the selling, and I do bubbles and bath with the kids, right? I write books. I look for ways to advertise. I enjoy my life. I mostly spend my time trying to be a better investor and look for assets that I can purchase with my profits to create cash flow. You know, the things that people are bothered by in network marketing, I don't spend any time on. You know, people, well, I don't want to be a network. I know, because you don't know how to do it correctly. And so I just developed a system where I didn't have to deal with rejection. People can come and go in my group, and I've never spoken to them. And that's a beautiful way to do it. But on page 45 of my book, The Mentalist, I talk about this idea of how to turn your yearly income into your monthly income. Sounds crazy, right? But I did it. I did that. Turn what used to be a monthly income of, say, being a prison guard or I was in the Army for 7 years, and the amount of money you might make, a couple $1,000 a month, and then turn that into $30,000 a month. Completely possible. But here's what you got to do. You first got to be a giver, not a taker. You have to become a leader. You have to learn to attract people, track riches, track opportunity, right? So in 1999, when other networkers went online trying to, quote, get rich, they got nothing. I made almost no one who's done it online who made good money. Now, there's the outliers. There's always just enough people to keep everyone else trying to do it, right? But what they missed is all money originates from service. Trying to be rich without first serving and giving value never works. This is why the 95% of the people who enter network marketing completely miss it. They completely lose money. You can join every program in America. It doesn't matter the product or the pay plan. You can do all that crap, pitching it however you want, right? And you can use every slick marketing system known to man and you will still earn nothing. You must first start with serving your fellow man before you can receive money. And so I started with that simple message. And I sent out a postcard that basically said, free downline. The free eliminated any cost, any form of any rejection, any fear of loss. They don't want to lose their money. Okay, it's free. And then what is the downline part about? Well, they have a hard time building the downline. So now I want to give them value. I want to remove the fear of loss, and I want to give you value. And so it's free. And people say, well, I'm interested. How could I have a free downline? And they request information. And then I begin to put them through what I call the money flow, my sales funnel, right? See, being an owner of a successful network marketing company, I get a front row seat to failure. I rarely speak with people on the subject of serving and giving. Everyone wants to know, when will I get money? How soon will I make a check? And what, you know, I never get the phone call where people say, who do I need to become to attract more money? Who do I need to become to make more money? What do I need to read? Is there something I need to study? No, it's almost always centered around me, 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 me. When do I get? When do I get? What about me? It's never centered on this idea of service and value, which is what it should be. Service and value. The hidden code behind Jesus saying, it is better to give than to receive, is the code to wealth. It's the code to wealth. You must start with service to your fellow man before you can receive money. Have a great week.